Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Hurricane Irma caused major damage all across southwest Florida last year, and while many people have wrapped up their repairs and the insurance claims are processing or closed, some are still struggling to finish repairs. Plus, because of the massive damage caused by the storm, insurance companies are facing an increase in lawsuits against them. We're joined now by Chip Merlin. He's the founder and president of Merlin Law Group, and he focuses on commercial and residential property insurance claim disputes and bad faith insurance litigation. We're going to pick his brain about all things insurance-related in this post-Irma world. Chip, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here this afternoon. Thank you.
Are you still working on your insurance with your insurance company over an Irma-related claim, or maybe you have a question about insurance coverage as we approach the 2018 hurricane season? To ask a question or make a comment, you can join the show by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So, Chip, can you characterize for me the impact that Hurricane Irma's had on property insurance here in Florida?
Well, it never helps the market to have any type of insurance catastrophe happen. Usually the year after, insurance companies will raise the rates. They're doing this somewhat so in Florida. Not kind of, not outrageously. As a matter of fact, it's actually been a fairly modest increase here in Florida. But companies typically in the first or second year after get a little concerned about the market. Certainly, those aren't as well capitalized. Don't have the capacity to increase insurance coverage, and therefore, most of the time, like this year, the prices are somewhat higher than what they've been.
Yeah, they are a little bit. I noticed at least mine went up but it went up. It didn't go up incredibly. It wasn't, a 50% increase or anything like that. So you specialize in dealing with insurance-related disputes. Can you tell me a little bit about your practice and background?
Well, I first started representing insurance companies in 1982, and then I left to start representing policyholders on their property insurance claims in 1985, and I've been doing this ever since. We now have a firm that's national in practice. We have 59 attorneys. We have 9 full-time attorneys in Puerto Rico right now, but we have wildfire claims out in San Francisco, the mudslides in Los Angeles. Our law office in Houston even was flooded out from Hurricane Harvey there. Certainly we're busy in Florida because that's our home base, and I've been very busy in Puerto Rico within the last 3 months.
Yeah, I believe that. Well, navigating a homeowner's insurance claim is usually brand new territory for most homeowners, especially after a hurricane. One of the biggest shockers being that higher deductible that people face after a hurricane. So what is something that you feel that most people don't know or understand about handling their insurance claim after hurricane damage?
I think most people really don't have the qualifications to really find the extent of the wind damage. Most people underestimate the amount of the wind damage. They don't get up on top of the roof. Even if they got on top of the roof, they really wouldn't know what to look for. Just like an airplane wing, when you have high wind speeds go over a roof or a building, there's this lift pressure that you really can't see. Most people think it's the force of something or the impact of something that breaks it, but it's really the differential in pressure that goes on within a building, especially for roofs, starts to pull the roof almost apart. And so if you're in an area where you have the high winds that went through Irma, and I always tell people, please go back and have a professional just check it out to make certain, because if you wait too long, the insurance company is going to come back and say, this just must be regular wear and tear. And sometimes the problems don't show up for another year or so. And again, the truth of the matter is, you can just imagine in Florida with the number of retirees we have down here, nobody's looking to get on a ladder to go up and look at the roof. As a matter of fact, if they were to do so, it would be extraordinarily unsafe.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, if you're in an area where you're seeing other people that are having your roofs replaced and things like that, and you're wondering whether or not your roof has been damaged, I would strongly consider calling a reputable roofing contractor that's local that might be able to take a look just to make certain there's not some problem out there.
Should you take your insurance adjuster's word for it when they come and look at your house and see what has been damaged and what hasn't been damaged, or do you think people would be wise to call in another party?
Many times I think people should call in another party. It just depends. If there's no signs of damage whatsoever and the insurance adjuster seems to be pointing things out to you and there's no leaks or anything like that, and you're in an area where you didn't really have winds in excess of 80 miles an hour, so most of the time you're not going to find any damage. The problem usually comes up, and where I tell people and stress this, with respect to getting some professional help is when you have larger losses and the ability to determine what's the proper way to repair, what your rights are under the insurance policy. Sometimes the insurance adjusters, because they're so busy, these catastrophe adjusters are coming from other areas in the United States. Many of them are not as experienced. They're just trying to get their job done and the information back into the insurance company. And statistically, the most mistakes are made by insurance adjusters, the insurance companies, even unintentionally, is during the times right after a catastrophe. So if you have a lot of damage, and unless you're very good at valuation and things like that, which most people are not, I typically indicate that a public adjuster is a person that they should at least consider hiring. Now, public adjusters are licensed by the various states of the union, including Florida, and they are able to represent the policyholder with respect to making up estimates and valuation of what the total amount of the loss is.
So I've never heard of that.
Found that they've been very helpful. Yeah, a lot of people have not. It's a fairly young industry. It did not exist significantly until after Hurricane Katrina, and then it really wasn't until the 2004 storms when we had four hurricanes here in Florida that the public insurance industry grew from something in the kin of a couple hundred people to in the heyday. Because remember, the following year we had two more storms. And there were over 2,000 public adjusters licensed by the state of Florida. Because of a change in requirements and continuing education and various apprenticeship programs that the state instituted, the number of public adjusters in the state of Florida is now, again, less than 1,000. But these individuals are trained. All they can do is represent policyholders with respect to evaluation and helping determine the rights and benefits they have under the insurance policy, and they deal with the insurance company. So if a person like myself is busy traveling all over the United States, I wouldn't have time to do my insurance claim. It's just not, something I could do.
It's a full-time job.
Right.
It really is.
Until people actually have the claim, they don't know how time-consuming it is. And unfortunately, many people just give up. It's not that it's lazy. It just takes so much time to go to the tedium, to go through every little detail of an insurance plan, dealing with insurance adjusters, dealing with estimators and everybody else. I often indicate that sometimes a public adjuster is the best alternative for many individuals, especially when you have, a larger loss versus a smaller one.
Yeah, that is an incredible piece of advice, and I'm sitting here shaking my head going, don't I know it? It really is a full-time job, but I've known a lot of people that have become very frustrated. But at this point, is it too late for someone to contact an attorney if they've gotten to that point where they've gotten their house repaired, because by now it's been 7 months, and you can't live in a destroyed house for too terribly long without losing your mind. When is it too late to call someone?
Well, actually, our phones are starting to really pick up. We're lawyers. Most people don't want to deal with lawyers and attorneys afterwards. And frankly, giving the insurance company an opportunity to do the right thing to begin with is something I try to tell most people to go do, but, be cautious about it. So our phones start, ringing off the hook, so to speak, in South Florida, in the Naples area, and down in the Keys about 4 weeks ago, and we continue to have even a growing influx of people that are just tired of waiting to get what they think is a proper or fair settlement. And sometimes we find that insurance claims have been denied, and by this time insurance companies have sent out experts who may have disagreed with the policyholder about what caused the damage or the extent of the damage or how to go about fixing the damage, especially more serious claims where the insurance company has a lot at stake. Sometimes they'll almost go out of their way to try to find ways to minimize their cost, but it might not be the legally nor proper method of reconstruction or repair. And so it's not atypical for us to find at this time, when you start getting 6 months after a loss, that's when our phones start ringing. Up to a year and a half, our phones are still ringing from a particular storm. So it's at least for attorney time for me, we're getting pretty busy right now.
I bet. I've heard a lot of people anecdotally saying that they're just getting to the end of their rope and they don't really know where to turn, and they don't feel like they have anybody that's on their side, even though they've been paying their premiums to the insurance company, and they feel like they're fighting against them to get their house back in order. So you think that a person should try to get through with their insurance company and give the insurance company the chance to do the right thing. Does it surprise you when you see that they're not?
No. For the vast majority of insurance companies, they're in a competitive environment, and many of the claims adjusters are being taught rather than for look the ways to pay their customer, for making certain the policy holder, their customer, is being paid fully and make certain all the rights and benefits are being explained to them. You know, it's a lot more profitable for an insurance company to do something else and not pay them, not explain all the policy benefits, and sometimes just fight them, because so many people, frankly, just give up and go away. They just feel like they have to deal with it. Fortunately, in Florida, a pretty strong consumer state. We have a great Department of Insurance, but if you make complaints, they will follow back up with the complaints to help consumers. And I strongly recommend, especially on smaller disputes, that policyholders try to do something through the Department of Insurance. But even if that doesn't work, they shouldn't give up. It's at that time when they are not getting paid, and whether they have a public adjuster or not, and it's for a lot of those people, it's coming about right now. And I'm going to give you one last time, and it just doesn't work out for the insurance company. It's the time for them to call an attorney. The truth of the matter is, many insurance claims adjusters are being taught, you know, today various techniques of not overpaying claims, and so they're being even evaluated, the field adjusters, on their performance of not overpaying claims. And if that's what they're being, you know, graded on, so to speak, there's only one way to go, and that's underpaying a claim. And that's one reason why there's been, at least in my opinion, such a huge increase in the amount of litigation that I've seen throughout my career.
So I'm wondering, have you come across people who've been outright abandoned by insurance companies completely? I've heard tales of insurance companies that have closed up shop in the weeks after the hurricane because they couldn't afford to pay people out. Have you heard any of that?
Not really, and not too much in Florida. Sometimes I hear that with respect to national flood insurance claims, where the right ground carriers make up the determination and they refuse to come back out and reinspect it. And that's not proper either. But the vast majority of most insurance companies will try to sit through and try to go through a claim. We're really not abandoned. I don't see that much here in the mainland United States. I see that significantly in Puerto Rico, though. As a matter of fact, I've even told many in the industry that I'm actually kind of proud of the way that the mainland insurance companies have been, and even Lloyd's of London, have been treating many of the Puerto Ricans and the people from the Virgin Islands, because the more local companies out there have just been much more difficult to deal with, almost completely abandoning them, where they didn't even get an adjuster out to look at the home or the business for 4 or 5 months after the storms. At least here, we have many adjusters that have gone out. You know, a lot of the claims are done. You know, the disputes are here now for many of the people. And we can deal with those. The good news is I've not heard of insurance companies about to go broke here in the state of Florida. We've been very fortunate that for a decade we went without a major hurricane hitting the state.
Well, that's about all the time that we have for this portion of the show, so I have to wrap things up. But I want to thank my guest, Chip Merlin, founder and president of Merlin Law Group in Tampa. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.